This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we talk about issues of importance to your life and your faith. That is what we do here on Women of Grace Live, and I'll tell you what, you contribute to the conversation. Yes, you do. You contribute to the discussion. So I invite you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here if you are in North America. And boy, do we welcome those calls. If you're a first-time caller, we certainly want to know about it. And I will ring. You hear that? I will ring my little welcome bell to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. We can also be reached if you're outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, if you're a first-time caller, do want to know that. And again, I will ring that bell for you. We're available for you as well through social media. Simply go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put in your name, put in how it is that you are listening to us if it isn't through social media, and certainly do tell us where you are. Don't forget to put your question or comment in there. We're going to get it retrieved and up on the board. We'll be able to address it. One other way that you can reach us is by texting us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening. We'll get that retrieved and up on the board. We've got Pedro Quiles doing all of that retrieving today. We've got Tom Price on the phones today. We have Ace McKay in studio making it happen. What a happy team we are. I am happy to be behind the microphone. Present to you again. I've been out of the country for the last several days, and I hope to share a little bit with you about that experience as we make our way through the program today. But I do want to remind you to check out our website, womenofgrace.com. We have so many great opportunities available for you, and I really want to encourage you to come and join us for this beautiful, beautiful Women of Grace retreat that's taking place at Malvern Retreat House, just outside of Malvern, Pennsylvania. Actually, it is in Malvern, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hope for the journey is the theme. Hope for the journey is the theme. We are in the Jubilee Year of Hope, and so we certainly did want to highlight that, underscore that, talk about this reality of the theological virtue of hope, but also how we take that theological virtue and apply it to our everyday lives and apply it to every circumstance that occurs in the midst of our everyday lives. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that there are hallmarks that seem to be a part of every Women of Grace event. And what would be those hallmarks? We've got faith operative. Oh, yes, we do. Faith. We have fun operative. Yes, we do. We have fellowship operative. So we invite you to join us for faith, for fun, for fellowship at our Women of Grace annual retreat, as I mentioned to you, taking place there at Malvern Retreat House. When is it happening? July 25th through the 27th. That is today is the first day of July. That is later this month. I'm encouraging you to sign up and to join us for this beautiful retreat weekend. It gets started in the evening of July 25th, which is Friday, runs through the Saturday, and then ends on Sunday right around noon, closing out with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We have got a wonderful roster of speakers who are going to be with us. I am so pleased and delighted that Bishop William Walterscheid of the Diocese of Pittsburgh is going to be joining us for the entire event. He is a wonderful bishop, just incredibly insightful when it comes to the spiritual life, a tremendous gift to the church, and personally a tremendous this gift to me and to Women of Grace. He is our spiritual advisor. He is going to be presenting, Dr. Donald Wallenfang, who is our academic advisor. He will be presenting both at the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, which I'll tell you about in just a moment, as well as at the retreat that begins July 25th, running through the 27th. Kitty Cleveland is going to be with us. I am so excited. Kitty is a tremendously gifted woman in lots of various ways. She's a tremendous artist, both vocally and through her operation in paint and in sketch. Just beautiful in that regard. She is going to be talking with us about the way in which we can take the most dire of circumstances and turn them into an occasion for praise and joy in the Lord through the virtue of hope. Patricia Sandoval is going to be with us. I am so excited. This will be the first opportunity that I've had to introduce Patricia to the Women of Grace attendees. A beautiful woman of the Lord, absolutely incredible, very well-known speaker in the Hispanic community throughout the United States and worldwide. She is going to be joining us. She'll be speaking to us in English, maybe throwing in a bit of Spanish here and there, but she is going to be presenting to us and her testimony, her story. If this doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. It is absolutely terrific. I interviewed her on our television program, Women of Grace, not long ago, and as we were sitting there, Holy Spirit was just prompting me, compelling me to invite her to be part of this event. Fortunately, of course, the Lord knew this. Her schedule was available for this weekend, which was amazing, and she is going to be with us, eager for you to meet her. I will also be presenting through the course of the weekend, so that lines up our lineup for you. We've got Dr. Donald Wallenfang. We've got Patricia Sandoval. We've got Kitty Cleveland. We've got Bishop William Walterscheid. I will be there, too, in addition to Living Praise. What a beautiful, beautiful praise and worship team this is. They will be leading us in an exploration of hope just through the music that they present to us. So I'm eager for you to join us. All of the information available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. Here we are. We're into July. This is the end of July, the last weekend, the 25th through the 27th. Now, beginning on the 26th, is our Women of Grace Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be presenting that entire event for us. He's going to be taking us deeply, deeply, deeply into an exploration of the virtue of hope and how we express this in conflict. Can you imagine such a thing? So we're going to be talking about conflict resolution from a Christian perspective, inclusive of this great virtue of hope. It's going to be marvelous. If you've attended any of our Women of Grace Benedicta Institute enrichment seminars in the past, this is going to be one that stands out to you in a very special way. So I'm encouraging you to check that out at our website too. I'll have a little bit more for you on this on the other side of the break, but here we are today, first day of July. Can you believe that? Here we are into the seventh month of 2025. How has your year been going? Let's talk about that. What is one of the great highlights that you have experienced through the course of this year? We're going to be talking about that and ever so much more right here on Women of Grace Live. We want to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3988. Join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Coming right back, stay tuned.
Johnette is taking your phone calls. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am so eager to hear from you. I have missed you. You know, I had a wonderful, wonderful vacation, a wonderful trip that Jack and I went on. It was really quite incredible. I'll unpack a little bit of that for you in just a minute here. But, you know, I missed you, you know, and even though I was in Europe and I it's kind of like, you know, calculating time, thinking about, oh, goodness sakes, you know, the show would have, I would have been there behind the microphone with all of my listeners, just enjoying them so very much and being so happy to be with them. But I was happy to be where I was. It was really quite incredible. I do want to go back and just share with you a little bit more about the beautiful retreat that's coming up July 25th through the 27th there at Malvern Retreat House. I was telling you, this Women of Grace retreat is Hope for the Journey. That is the theme. It's just a wonderful roster of speakers, really incredible people in the Lord. We've got the information for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it in the slideshow. But if you just scroll down the homepage there, you'll see Attend an Event. You click on that tile. All of the events coming up for Women of Grace will be there for you. I didn't mention to you, and I do want to mention this to you, that on that Saturday, so it begins on, Friday the 25th, runs to the 27th. On Saturday the 26th, we will also be having a Young Women of Grace retreat in a separate area there on the grounds of this beautiful retreat house. And I really do want to encourage you, if you have a young daughter, someone who is between the ages of like 12, 13, on up to 17, 18. We want to encourage you to bring them. It's a beautiful day. Cindy Westbrook, just a marvelous woman of grace who has led Young Women of Grace at her particular elementary school for a number of years now, and also getting it planted in the high school here, has just seen incredible, beautiful treasures that have happened in the lives of these girls, spiritual treasures, really emotional treasures, treasures of grace that help them in their relationships with children their own age, but also navigating their way in this very contentious time in which we live. So we want to encourage you to bring your daughter. You know, it would be a wonderful opportunity that your daughter or your niece, bring your niece, bring your granddaughter with you, you know, bring a neighbor girl with you, your daughter and her friends, whatever the combination of young woman is in your life, bring that young woman, two or three or four of them if you'd like. They will be able to join us Friday evening. They will be able to join us on Sunday, but during that Saturday, they will have their own session. So we certainly do want to encourage you to bring your daughter. I was telling you also about the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. It actually begins Thursday, July 24th. I think I said that, but I want to make sure. And it runs through mid-afternoon on the 25th in time for you to close out the day and kind of get yourself oriented for the retreat that begins. You can attend one or the other. You can come for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar if you like and stay on for the retreat, or you can make a selection between one of the two. The theme for the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is Consecrating Conflict, Finding Hope in a Struggle. Cannot wait to hear what Dr. Donald Wallenfang is going to be sharing with us. So eager. I attend everything. I am there. I am eager to be with you. So do check it out. You know, don't delay. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you, if you're getting a little excited, or if you feel just kind of like a little zinger in your heart as I'm talking about it, take that as a prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has graces for you to receive, but you got to show up in the places where He wants for you to receive them. And if you've got that little interior sense that maybe, you know, oh, gee, this sounds interesting, you know, follow up on that. Join us for this. You can register right online. We make it easy breezy for you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live. We encourage you to join us here. We do want to talk with you today. If you're outside of North America, we've got a number for you, country code 1-205-271-2985. In either case, if you're a first timer, let us know. And I get to do this. I get to ring my little bell to welcome you to the program today. Want to be sharing with you a little bit about, you know, here we are. You know, we are now into the seventh month of this year. So we are approaching beyond the halfway point, the sixth month being the marker for that. So, you know, what's been going on in your year? What kind of a year has this been for you? How has God shown up in the various ways in which these days of this year have passed by? We have Lorraine out there on YouTube. She said, I only started to watch your show 2 years ago. I love your show. I've learned a lot from you. Love you so much. I'm 53 from Ireland. Well, Lorraine, we thank you so very, very much for watching the show. I'm assuming that you're talking about the YouTube presentation of the live show that we're doing right now. Those of you that are out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or live show, or Facebook page can watch us live there as the program is going on. I've been edified by the number of people who find us there. Interestingly enough, on this beautiful trip to Europe, one of the persons told me that, she watches, and another person, actually the tour conductor for us there in Italy, shared that, she went out online and Googled and found us there. She said she watched one of the shows. So it's amazing to me the reach that there is through social media and through all of the outlets of EWTN. This whole process of evangelization is what the network is about. This whole process of evangelization is what Women of Grace is about. We want to transform the world through one woman, by one woman at a time. That is our particular emphasis through Women of Grace. But it all rolls into this beautiful, marvelous business of what the church was founded to do. The church exists to evangelize. It exists to evangelize. And we exist to evangelize each other. And one of the great ways in which we can do that is through live radio, through your calls. Just Lorraine sharing that she's watched the shows for 2 years and she finds something in the show that is beneficial for her faith lets us know that this great mission of evangelization is one that we can never tire of doing. Never tire of doing, no matter where we are. So let me tell you a little bit about our trip. Maybe you have had the opportunity to journey to Europe. Maybe there is a particular moment in your journey there that spoke to your heart. We met many, many people who have journeyed to Europe numbers of times. I've been there quite a few times myself for various reasons. But this time was really an opportunity to disengage from the busyness of life and really to be present to the unfolding of these days as God would have them unfold. So Jack and I took a sea cruise, really, with a couple of our friends, a very dear couple who's been close to me for many, many years. And since I've married Jack, very close to Jack and me as a couple, just a beautiful, beautiful, lovely, lovely couple, Sherry and John Fennessy. I'm shouting the name out there. And we just enjoyed ourselves so much. We took this cruise up the Adriatic. We started off in Athens, Greece, and made our way to Montenegro, and then we were in Croatia, and we went from Croatia to Venice, and we went from Venice to Florence, and we ended up getting off of the ship in Florence and doing a little excursion on land. And when I say that, I mean for a number of days. It was an on-land extension to the cruise. We were getting off of the ship, obviously, in all of these different places. And, it was one of the days we didn't do the trip excursion in Croatia. We had the opportunity to be in Dubrovnik. And if you've never been to Dubrovnik and you have an opportunity, I want to encourage you to go to Dubrovnik. It's a beautiful city. It's a medieval city. It's just very well preserved, even though it took some rounds of bombs during the Bosnian War that took place several years ago now. But all of that being said, it's in tremendous shape, absolutely beautifully kept. In addition to that, then we had a day in Split. But rather than touring the city of Split, the four of us broke off and we did our own excursion. And we went to Medjugorje, which is about an hour and 15 minutes away. I had been there in 1987, which was shortly after the apparitions had begun. They began in 1981, the reported apparitions. I want to qualify that because the church hasn't pronounced on them yet. And I was eager to go back. And since it was an hour and 15 minutes away, we were able to make that happen. And so the four of us went there. I could not believe the change in Medjugorje. And yet I should have. 87 was a very long time ago, wasn't it? And of course, millions of tourists come through there every year. And so the accommodations to provide for these tourists has certainly increased. When I was there all those many years ago, you stayed in the homes with people. They opened their home to you and you stayed there. And there was like one little kind of nook there where you could purchase food, restaurant kind of fashion, but it was so teeny. It was not, you know, anything like we would think of restaurant size. It was very lovely, but it was very small. And so it was very primitive there. I can remember that I woke up in the morning. The sun rises very early there, somewhere around 5:17 in the morning. And I can remember I woke up and I was hearing these noises. And I looked out the window and here was a woman and she was a shepherd and she was shepherding her sheep right down the main street. So you saw that kind of true, you know, small European village living at that time. Well, that's all changed. I mean, you know, you've got shops of every kind of description there. You've got restaurants there. You've got lodging there. Lots has grown up. And so the landscape of the city in terms of its growth and development has changed considerably. And so from my perspective, you know, undoubtedly a place where great conversions have taken place and continue to take place. But I have to say that I kind of missed the rustic quaintness of how it had been. And yet, you know, we obviously felt as though we benefited by being there. So that was one very beautiful excursion. We broke away in Florence from the group was going to Siena. Now, I would have loved to have gone to Siena because St. Catherine, of course, is there and her relic is there, which is her head. But we had made the decision that we wanted to go to Assisi. I had never been to Assisi. Jack hadn't been to Assisi. Our friends had been to Assisi, but they wanted to return to Assisi. And I was so, so, so grateful that we went to Assisi. I have to go back at some point in time. As a matter of fact, I've got a little idea blooming in my mind. You know, I'd like to go back and go to Siena. We passed Cortona as well on the way to Assisi from where we were in Florence. And of course, we've got St. Margaret of Cortona, who is there. I'm trying to remember if she's an incorruptible or not. I can't quite recall if she is. But all of that being said, you know, there's spots all along the way that are just filled with tremendous grace. But in Assisi, you know, I was struck by just the quaintness of this place. It too is a beautifully preserved medieval city, and understand when I say that, you know, life has developed around these places. So you've got the influence of the 21st century, but as you climb the hill, as you go up the hill to Assisi, the ancient Assisi. It is probably very much like it was in medieval times. We had the opportunity to do that. And of course, the Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi is tremendous, is wonderful. We arrived just in time for the celebration of the Mass. I just thought that was divine and holy providence. And so we attended a Mass. It was in Spanish. It was beautiful. We were graced to be able to receive the sacrament, you know, of our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity when we were there. And that just kind of set the tone for the day for us. We then also visited the Cathedral of St. Clair. And this was one of the places where I was outrageously struck. Even in retrospect, yesterday when in my prayer time, I was just kind of thinking back to some of these highlights. And, you know, there is St. Clair is there, and St. Clair is an incorruptible. And, you know, you look at her and you don't possibly think that could be true of her, but it is her. And, you know, so there was that, but I just sensed such holiness there, such sanctity. It was just incredible to me, just incredible, just absolutely beautiful. And we also visited Maria Maggiore, which is St. Mary Major, this very small, humble church where the remains of Carlo Acutis are. And so we had opportunity to venerate the remains of Carlo Acutis. And of course, a lot of people think that he is incorrupt because there is an effigy of him in the casket, but his remains are inside of that. And what you see there is, you know, not his body. But nonetheless, you get a profound sense of this young man because it's an exact a representation of him. And so that was really quite amazing. We, you know, I carried away a deeper appreciation for him. And we went into the part of the church where he most certainly prayed, where the Blessed Sacrament is kept. And this was the church that he favored. This is the church that he went to all of the time. And when we walked in there, I gasped, audibly gasped, because it is a beautiful, there is a beautiful representation of Our Lady of Sorrows, and she is so very dear to me. And so I spent a happy moment in prayer, praying in the very place where this very young saint had prayed. Another remarkable moment also came on the Feast of the Sacred Heart. We were in the we were in Florence on that day, and we were in San Croce, I think is the name of it. I think it is, and that is the Church of the Holy Cross. And there was a beautiful, beautiful statue of the Sacred Heart of our Lord, and it was lovely to be in that church and to sit before the Blessed Sacrament and to be able to honor our Lord underneath his title of Sacred Heart. So all in all, it was just beautiful. Everything along the way was absolutely beautiful, and I just so enjoyed it. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We have Gil with us. Gil is in Long Island today, listening to us via Alexa. Good morning to you, Gil. How are you?
Fine. I missed you. I'm glad your vacation was good.
And it was beautiful.
About,
go ahead.
Talk about the lady that was shepherding the sheep and all of that. I thought that was interesting. It made me want to call because I wanted to talk about John 10:27 and John 10:11 and John 1:12 in light of that. So I guess I'll wait
good.
For the break.
Yeah, we're heading to the break. So hold on to that. You've given us a really good tease for after we come back from the break, Gil. So hang on. We want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. If you're a first timer, either way, I do want to know. I'll ring my bell for you. Also available for you outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, back in the saddle today and happy for it. We'll be right back.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. Back from vacation and delighted to be here with you. I really am. Want to hear from you, too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Also encouraging you to get out there to our website, Women of Grace. We've got all kinds of wonderful events coming up. I was telling you at the beginning of the program about our Women of Grace retreat that's coming up at the end of this month at Malvern Retreat House. It's an annual event for Women of Grace, and we love, love, love having you there. Please do check it out. Hope for the Journey is the theme for our retreat. It is preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar, and that seminar is going to be led by Dr. Donald Wallenfang. And that particular theme is consecrating conflict, hope in the struggle. It's going to be an absolutely marvelous time there. He's a marvelous teacher, a marvelous presenter, so I want for you to come. He'll also be speaking at the retreat itself that begins on July 25th and runs through the 27th. The Benedicta begins on the 24th and runs through the afternoon of the 25th. And then the retreat begins that evening, which is a Friday night. But he'll be presenting at the retreat as well, along with Bishop William Walterscheid, Patricia Sandoval, Kitty Cleveland, and myself. So it's a great, great lineup of wonderful speakers who will be sharing with you about finding and acting in that theological virtue of hope. So if you are in need of hope, and look, who doesn't need that virtue? That's why God gives it to us at the moment of our baptism, right? We need it. We need it today in so many ways. And so I invite you to join us so that we can all grow together in this marvelous virtue and begin to live that abundant life in Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life in Jesus Christ with others. So get out there, check it out, do sign up, don't delay. You know, it's already July 1. We want to make sure that we've got a nice seat all warmed and ready for you. So please do sign up and join us. Again, just go to womenofgrace.com. You can register right there. Gil is with us from Long Island today. You can join him. Again, the way that you do that is by punching in these numbers, toll free for you here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. He wants to talk with us about some of the scripture passages in sacred scripture that deal with sheep and shepherds. And this is a favorite topic of Gil's. Hey, Gil, go ahead. Go for it.
Well, in John 10:27, one of my favorite verses is, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And in John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." I don't know if I told you, but I have a lot of stuffed animals, sheep, and a beautiful dinosaur that my mom has given me as well years ago. I take everywhere with me. So, you know, I just love the benefits that we have in following Jesus. You know, one of the scriptures that also comes to my mind is Philippians 4:6. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So one of the benefits of following Jesus is that he gives us eternal life. And also, we have the benefit of having prayers answered, and we have the benefit of having the gift of evangelism, because Jesus said in John 14:26, "But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." So I love that scripture a lot. That's why I say to you, Happy Sheep Day. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I just hope that my mom, you know, because my mom has dementia, will be able to experience eternal life too. You know, she's starting to believe it more and more. Years ago, I couldn't talk to her about God, but thank God now I can talk to my mom, and she's always listening, you know, Mama Goose. So I love my mom.
You know, I'll tell you, Gil, you know, the relationship that you have with your mom is a very dear one, and you've shared with us about this in the past. And, you know, it's interesting because dementia is just a funny disease. It's horrible. It's afflicting. But I can tell you, my mother had Alzheimer's, and as my mother progressed through this disease, you know, there's various stages of this, and, you know, you begin to recognize things in little ways, and then these ways progress, and pretty soon, you know, you're searching for help to figure out what is going on, and then you discover what it is. But my mother came to a place too of real peace as a result of that disease, you know. And in addition to that, I think that in some remarkable way that we don't understand, this God who works all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes worked this particular situation, circumstance that we would look at through, you know, the eyes of the world and say, this is regrettable, this is awful, this is the worst thing that could happen, and took that and turned it into moments, I think, of real opportunity for my mom. He was working very deeply in my mother's heart and soul, and I think that he was working there in a way in which he was unable to do that when my mother had full use of her faculties. There was a certain simplicity of heart that came with that. There was a certain docility of spirit that came with that. There was an opening up of kind of like a childlike faith that I began to see my mother operating in that I had never seen before. And so I think that there was a lot of inner healing that was going on. And you know, this God of ours, his ways are inscrutable. We cannot understand them. Scripture tells us, you know, that the mind of God is not our mind, that his ways are not our ways. But what is God's ultimate goal for every human person? His ultimate goal for every human person is that they would achieve salvation. life on high in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, you know, you're talking about John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Or another translation, I have come that they might have life to the full. He wants us to have the fullness of life, and the fullness of life is his life. So this is his whole purpose. This is the purpose for which every human person is created, that they might know, love, and serve God in this life and spend all eternity with him in heaven. And so I think that God uses the vicissitudes of life to affect that ultimate reality, to give us opportunity for that ultimate reality. And in my mother's case, though we, you know, missed the mom that we knew, you know, the mom that we saw growing and developing was beautiful and was lovely. And my mother had the grace of a happy death. And, you know, I think it came by way of this disease. And I know that sounds, you know, crazy to some people, but when you witness the movement of grace in a person's life, that it's hard not to say that. I noticed the same thing with my late husband. You know, his faith grew exponentially. His spiritual life grew exponentially as he entered more deeply into the process of the cross by way of brain cancer. And, you know, I my heart broke, and at the same time it rejoiced because of what I was witnessing and what he was gaining. And he was ready to go. He had the grace of a happy death too. So with your mom, you know, the Alzheimer's is there, but look at what's opened up for her. An opportunity to reconsider her relationship with God that might not have happened outside of this, you know, cross that God entrusted to her. But we do know everything good comes by way of the cross. So I'm so happy that you have an opportunity to see that, Gil.
Yep. I remember one time when I was coming home, I used to work in a church. I used to do phone ministry, counseling people and everything. And then when I came home, one Friday night, it was around 10:30, my mom put a whole bunch of stuffed animals in my bed, hugging each other, the goose, the dinosaur, the fish, and all the sheep. And I never forget that. It was on, I think it was 2011, during the month of maybe March, May, somewhere around there, I remember, during the time that I started calling your program, too, in the beginning. So, like I said, my mom was not open. She don't want to hear about God. But anytime I talk to her about God now, she listens. And I share with her in Spanish, because my mom knows Spanish, too. I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So my mom is starting to believe more that she will go to heaven when she dies. I just try to give her the assurance of salvation. You know, I have to constantly repeat things to my mom because of the dementia.
Right.
I'm so glad that she watches your show, and she always says, your friend is on now, you want to hear her? She puts her on for me at 1 o'clock, you know. She always calls you my friend for the past 2 or 3 years, you know, she says it like that. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, we are friends, Gil.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I told you my mom bought me a dinosaur. It's so cute. It's blue. It's like one of my shirts that I wear. It's so beautiful. And I take it everywhere, and people ask you, what does it remind you of? I said, it always reminds me of my mom, Mama Goose, you know. I told them, yeah. So I'll let her know I spoke to you today. You know?
Oh, please do, and give her my very best regards, okay?
Oh, I will, and electronic hugs and all that stuff. Absolutely.
Okay, Gil, God bless you.
27, bye-bye. That's one of my favorites. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yeah. And I give unto them eternal life.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. Well, Gil, you are a beautiful man, and we thank God for you. And friends, we thank God for each one of you, too. 833-288-EWTN. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you, but we can't have it if you don't call. So that's 833-288-3986. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So Jack weighed in a little earlier on when I was talking about Blessed Carlo Acutis. You know, the date for his canonization has been set again, and he is going to be canonized with Pier Giorgio Frassati. And so there's something very right about that. And I'm kind of glad about it. I think it's going to be just a remarkable highlight, a spotlight even, on two young saints. Carlo Acutis, of course, being the younger of the two, but nonetheless, young saints who stand as, I think, real signposts for our young people today. But Jack said, when the body of Blessed Carlo Acutis was exhumed, it was found to be integral, having all its organs, but not intact, meaning there had been decomposition. He continued to write, to allow for public veneration, a silicone reconstruction of his face was used, and he was dressed in clothes he would have worn. This is why his body appeared intact in photos and led some to mistakenly believe it was incorrupt. Therefore, while his actual body is present within the effigy, the visible face and hands are a reconstruction. So that's a very good analysis of what is the reality of the remains of Carlo that you can venerate at Santa Maria Maggiore or St. Mary Major Church there in Assisi, a humble little church that is, you know, just there. It was lovely, but quiet and old and ancient and not the basilicas, you know, nothing like the basilica or the cathedral that is there. Also should mention, too, that kind of like outside of in Assisi, but outside of the ancient city, is the sanctuary of the Porziuncula. Can you say this, Janet? Porziuncula. There you go. And that is the church that Saint Francis rebuilt. You remember that he entered this little church and he heard the Lord speak to him and say, Francis, rebuild my church. A couple of times the Lord repeated that. And he went to work and he reconstructed this church. Of course, God's intention was much bigger than this little church. It was really not about the visible church or the structure that he was standing in. It was really about the church at large. And so he came to understand that in time. But there is a great big, huge, enormous, beautiful church that has been built around. It's really a sanctuary for the Porziuncula that is enclosed inside of this structure. And I was surprised when I went in, because you see this little church, it's there, you know, and you can actually enter into it. And that was very meaningful to me, too. I remember I put my hand, you know, on the wall, the exterior wall of the little Porziuncula, and thought to myself, you know, Saint Francis touched this rock, you know, I'm touching something that Saint Francis touched. It, you know, these realities of the faith are so tremendous. Our faith is absolutely so very, very rich. And to that point, Desiree out on YouTube sent us a message. And she says, hello, my name is Desiree, and I just came into the church this Easter vigil. God has been so good. I have recently been going to daily mass with my kids, and it's been life-changing. Desiree, I am so happy for you that you've come into the church. I am so thrilled that you have had this experience of the beauty and the wonder of the holy sacrifice of the mass, and that you are taking full advantage of that opportunity to be present to the holy sacrifice of the mass every day. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'm sure that you listening today have remarkable moments through the holy sacrifice of the mass, remarkable moments stepping inside of a church and just being awestruck by not just the beauty that is there, but by the ultimate beauty. The ultimate beauty being the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and again, you know, that's the thing that I kept experiencing over and over again as we made our way through Europe. We saw some beautiful icons in Greece. I love icons. I just find them to be so inspiring, which is exactly what they're meant to be, inspiring, leading us into a moment of intense experience with the Lord in the inner confines of our heart, sometimes recognizable to us through consolation and sometimes not at all recognizable to us, but nonetheless true. No encounter with the living God is bereft of the grace of his presence. No encounter with the living God is bereft of his reality in us. No encounter. It's not to be weighed or measured against what we feel or the spiritual consolations or graces that we receive. But we cannot be in the presence of God and not be on some level engaged in a transformation of heart, mind, and spirit. It reminds me of Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you may know what is God's will, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. The mind is renewed in a variety of ways. It's renewed, obviously, by way of study and deepening our knowledge of the faith. But it is also renewed simply by letting the one who is the God of renewal renew us, by sitting before him and just being open to the presence of him and allowing him to gain entrance into our heart, mind, and spirit. Our mind might wander, you know, thoughts might come and go, but in some way, on some level, God is deeply at work in us. And how many times people come away from a time of adoration and say that they are more peaceful, that there is a sense of what's the word that I want to use here? You know, a sense of resting in the Lord and a sense of the Lord resting in them. And I think that that's what Jesus talks about when he's, you know, praying to the Father for his apostles right before the beginning of his excruciating passion. And he says that they may be one in us, Father, as I am in you and you are in me. That might not be an exact translation there or statement, but you get the message. That they may be one as I am in you and you are in me. And it's in that time of just sitting before the Lord. It's in that time of just being open to the reality of his presence that these things take place. And what is it that, you know, everything in the church that we see by way of embellishment, all of the beautiful artwork that might be there, all of the iconography that might be there if you're in an Eastern Rite church, all of the you know, the stations of the cross, right? The candles and the incense, all of that. What is all of that doing? It's stimulating this encounter with the Lord. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that we apprehend God through our senses. You know, God gives us senses, five senses, right? We have sight, we have sound, we have hearing, we have tasting, we have feeling, right? And he appeals to us, in the sense of smell. He appeals to us through all of those senses. And these are a means by which we can enter more deeply into the reality of him. You know, we hear the bell, we even smell the candle. We you know, if there's incense that's lingering at the time of adoration, or it's part of the, you know, we're there for benediction or exposition, you know, that is stimulating this opportunity to enter more deeply. The beautiful, you know, imagery that we see around the church, you know, all meant to lead us into a greater union with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is there before us, body, blood, soul, and divinity. It's so very beautiful. So, you know, I have to give acclamation along with Desiree. She just came into the church this Easter Vigil. But, you know, here's the thing. For those of us that were born and raised Catholic, cradle Catholics, as we're called, you know, every moment that we enter into the church is to be a new experience in him. It's to be able to, you know, shout with praise as Desiree does. God has been so good. God is so good to me, right? Every encounter with the Lord is to be a new moment in him, to be a new unfolding of our life in him and his life in us, experiencing on ever deepening layers of spiritual reality, the depths that he wants us to know. So, you know, I hope that you make time. Try to get to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass as often as you possibly can. If you can get there daily, like Desiree, do so. If you cannot get there daily, take opportunity at every chance that you get. Because, you know, God cannot be outdone in generosity. We give him a wee bit, and he gives back infinitude to us. We give him a wee portion, a wee particle, and what does he give us? He gives us the reality of all eternity. Well, it's been great being with you again today. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be back with you. Looking forward to being with you again tomorrow. Until then, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. May God bless you. May you get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com, and see all of the great things that we've got going on for you. Ladies, please take the Women of Grace Foundational Study. You are in for a transformative experience in your life in Jesus Christ. It's been great being with you. We're going to be back again. Until then, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.